It's also the day that His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj, came to the lotus feet of Srila Guru Maharaj at Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat in Navadvip. And I recall being in London with His Divine Grace, and while His entourage were packing and preparing to go, he was reflecting upon his childhood pastimes in Bamanpur. Remember, Bamanpur means, you know, Brahmanpur. Everyone traditionally there, Brahmin stock. And like we will find in the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj, he's tortured for his devotion, for his spiritual culture. And if you talk to many people who come in connection with Krishna consciousness, they'll tell some story about how their life was not going so well before coming in connection with Krishna consciousness. And maybe that led them to more seriously explore spiritual options. Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Chatur vidha bhajante mam jana sukritin orjuna arto jigyasa arti tarti gyani chabara tarshabha. Talk about the four types of people, and by inference we can say four basic situations from which people make their approach. Were they doing that before I started speaking, or are they just okay? They're translating it into Sikkhada. Hey Krishna. They're also feeling separation for Krishna. And what have we done? So, anyway, those four situations where someone might get a little nudge to go in the spiritual direction. As Kunti says, Tvam akinchana gocharam vipadak shantutat Shashvat Tattva Tattva Jagad Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yatsyad Apunar Bhava Darshanam. Saying actually that when things are going very well, there's a tendency to forget Krishna, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vaishnava. But as Guru Maharaj said, for those who fail to see the value of philosophy, when death comes suddenly or death makes its approach, then they start seeing that philosophy has some value. So Kunti says that when there's adversity, that is the time that we become more earnest, you know, intense in our need for your connection. It's been pointed out, the American short story writer, Lady Flannery O'Connor, she has a story called A Good Man is Hard to Find. And the long and short of it is, in the end, when some highway robber is threatening a woman and her family, the woman suddenly becomes very religious and saying all these things, you're my child. She starts saying all these nice things and talking about the Bible and God and something. And the narrator says, if she'd had a gun at her head at every moment of her life, just think of how spiritual she would be. She would have been a saint. So, of course, there it's being used as irony, but Kunti is saying, actually, it's in times of great adversity that we have more of a tendency to seek shelter, real shelter, asraya, asraya vigraha, as opposed to durasaye, ye bahirartamanina, taking shelter of external things. So, but interestingly, Gurudev, ever one to contradict stereotype, he said how nice life was in Bamanpur. his life was wonderful, and he was just musing, saying, you know, I loved everyone, everyone loved me. And he said, not only the people, the trees, the animals, he said, even the rickshaw wallows. And so there was this mutual appreciation. He was saying everything was, his life was very happy. And then a representative of Guru Maharaj I guess we're just going to have to learn to live with each other. A representative of Guru Maharaj came from the Mott, and he said, talking this nonsense. And what was that nonsense? He said, your mother is nothing, your father is nothing, this world is nothing, you'll have to give it all up someday. You know, the way he said it, talking this nonsense. He said, but it struck a sympathetic chord in my heart. I couldn't deny the validity that what he was saying was true. I was living my happy life, but he came talking all of these things that we hear in the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj that are thematically present through all the scriptures. And actually, not to pin the blame for this nonsense talk on sacred text, it's actually one of the themes of literature. Great literature will deal with these things. So it's memento mori, it's dealing with the inevitability of mortality. He said, so I couldn't deny the truth, the validity of what he was saying. And the more suggestions that devotee made, Gurudev was, you know, being backed into the proverbial corner, so to speak. So it came time to go to the Mott, and Gurudev said, I will go, but have to go right now, at this time, not tomorrow. And then that meant swimming over across the Ganga, and at last coming upon Guru Maharaj's ashram. And Gurudev said, I'd read about so many ashrams, and Ramayana, Mahabharata, Vedic literature. When I saw the Mott at that time, there was some apprehension on his part, and that devotee could see that, and he said, it may be a very small ashram and hut, thatched hut. He said, but there's a very big guru living inside. And we know, in the very beginning, Guru Maharaj said to Gurudev, are you prepared to follow my direction and not your mind? So immediately, it's about perspective, acquiring the proper angle of vision. And Guru Maharaj says, in these pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu and Nisringadev, he says that Hiranyakashipu's vision was falsified, and Prahlad's vision was verified, his way of seeing, which Hiranyakashipu had a hint of. I remember reading in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion, and he's talking about the importance of association. Of all people, Hiranyakashipu is being quoted. And he's telling Prahlad, Prahlad, you have to understand the importance of association. It's like crystal. Whatever you put before it is reflected in. So be very careful about who you associate with, because you're likely to reflect those qualities. Because his mind was somewhat disturbed. And just like I ask the children here, when they come from the school, I ask them, what are you learning? What's your favorite subject? Or did you learn something today? Did you learn something this week? It's only natural to ask that. So Hiranyakashipu is asking Prahlad Maharaj, what did you learn in school? And in the famous sloka where he addresses him as Asura Bharja, the best, oh, best of the asuras. See, I've learned that mundane life is like falling into a well that has no water in it. Like, we have a couple of wells here. They have a little bit of water in them from time to time. But falling, sometimes hit matma patam andukupam. Like a well, like something that's covered with grass, mistakenly, you didn't see it, you fell in it, and there's no water in it, and on top of it all, if you cry out, no one can hear you. And he said, rather, I think, than getting involved in mundane life, one should head for the hills, one should go to the forest, one should go to the Van, which is also interesting. The Van, and Prabhupada in his purports, he's saying, yes, what is that Van, that forest? Vrindavan. Right? That's the ultimate forest. It's not that they're just saying, give up mundane life and just go to a place where you're totally isolated, and there you'll find peace, there you'll find happiness. No, there's an allusion to Vrindavan. Swarupam Swarupena Vibhastiti. The actual conception of liberation. Here. Tamo Dwaram. No. Naishamati Stavad Urukramangrim. Sprishat Yanarta, Pagamo Yadarta, Mahiyasham, Parajobi Shekam, Niskin Chinanam, Navranita Yavat. Urukram, he of wonderful stride, means he does wonderful things. We say in here, Tabakara Kamalabarena, Adbhuta Sringham. A contradiction, Tabakara Kamala Barena Kam. The lotus we associate with softness. It's in his lotus-like palms. From these beautiful lotuses come out the nails that tear Hiranyakashipu apart. It's mentioned in the Gita. Why does the Lord appear? We just sang this song, Dash Avatars. 10 principal incarnations, but they're innumerable according to the Bhagavatam. Why? Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma sangstapanartaya sambhavami juge juge. He appears yuga after yuga. Why? To paritranaya sadunam, to protect the devotees, vinashaya chaduskritam. The asuras, or those who are opposed to the culture of Krishna consciousness, you can say, also. Right? Hiranyakashipu was performing austerities to accumulate mundane power, and he did. Was unparalleled what he did. So intense were his austerities, we're told. A fire, you know, he is standing without moving for 100 celestial years. A fire burst out of his Brahmarandra on his head that was causing the whole universe to boil, including all the living entities within it, and even the devas were starting to sweat. So they sent Brahma to him. All that remained of him, we're told at that time, was it was like the skeletal remains, but somehow alive, the Atma maintaining those skeletal remains with the fire shooting out of his head. So that Brahma came and with his nectar pot poured some nectar on his head to just like, sabai, be calm, to calm him down. And that's when Hiranyakashipu famously asked for an insurance policy. What do mundane people do in the world to protect, to try and, what is the word?
Find security
against the, the inescapable sufferings of material existence. They take out an insurance policy, right? And you go, and depending on the policy, they say, it covers this, it covers that, it doesn't cover this, it doesn't cover that. An interesting phrase they use in the American one is, they'll say, it doesn't cover acts of God. That Hiranyakashipu should have read more carefully. It doesn't cover acts of adbhutakram, urukram, he who does a wonderful stride, who does wonderful things. It doesn't cover that, but I can cover everything else. Right? So they want to know if it covers flood, what about if you get sick, if this happens, if that happens. So, because basically, I mean, what everyone's asking for is immortality. What do they call it? Life insurance. As if they could guarantee you'll go on living. But the irony of life insurance is you only collect on it if you die. But no one wants to call it like death insurance. That we can guarantee. Yes, you will die. And for the minimum monthly payment. No, they're saying life insurance. And they always, or the classic stereotype of someone selling life insurance is to say to a prospective client, have you ever thought of what would happen in a time when you're no longer here? And they like point to the wife and children and try and appeal to them. Think, oh, yeah, I should do something about that. But Hiranyakashipu wasn't exactly thinking like that. He was thinking about himself. He wanted immortality, which is, again, another theme in the Bhagavatam. This is in the seventh canto. The Amrita, which is based on mrityu, death, mriyate, death, Amrita, that substance that will make you deathless, that will be dealt again in the eighth canto. But anyway, he's trying, as mundane people do, to, how do you say, achieve immortality by the process of elimination through science. So he's asking, he's dealing in terms of life situations, circumstances, and other people. He won't be killed in the day or the night. It's like, check, check. You know, by any man nor beast, check, check. What, inside or outside, check, check. What else? By any weapons. By anything dead, not alive or dead. And so as they check one after another off the list, he thinks, I've got an insurance policy that basically guarantees me immortality. And Brahma's saying, remember the clause about acts of God. That I cannot guarantee. But everything else, you got it. Huh?
Brahma didn't mention that.
Yes. So he's thinking that he somehow outsmarted death, right? He's outsmarted Brahma, right? And back to Prahlad, after he sees the early signs of what he thinks are bad association, all this spiritual stuff, he's just like one of Guru Maharaj's relatives. He thought Guru Maharaj was like, at an early age, showing too much signs of detachment. It's part of Prahlad's teachings, right? Kaumara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavatam iha. You should actually, Kumar means as a child, you should take to this as soon as possible. Right? He later mentions also, if you divide life up into how much time you spend playing, how much time you spend sleeping, how much time is spent eating or taking care of the body, you have a very short small amount of time to spend on spiritual culture. What is Shakespeare's famous line? Out, out, brief candle. It's very short life. Out, out, brief candle. There's a while this candle is lit, and then it'll be out. It'll be over very quickly. So he's saying, if you can take it up in childhood. So one of Guru Maharaj's relatives saw this natural tendency toward renunciation in him. And he said, you know, if you... he said, quote, with the latest like scientific information at the time, that there's some stars, they're so far away, their light is yet to reach the earth, and light travels at so many 100,000 kilometers per second. He said, so if there is a God, this universe is so vast and so great, do you think he has time for you? We're so insignificant. If there is a God, he's so far away. He's trying to get him like to focus more locally. And God is so far away. But Guru Maharaj is already acquainted with the sayings of the Upanishads, particularly Isha Upanishad. Tadure tadantike. He said, yes, you're right, he's so far away. But it also says tadantike. He's so near. He's within everything. Is there anywhere God is not? Can you name one place where he isn't? So yes, he may be very far away in one sense, but he's very near in another sense. And that man was silenced. And this is more back on the theme. What does it say in the song? Bahir Nishingo, Hriday Nishingo. He's within everything, he's without. So Prahlad's culturing this type of conceptualization. We're told in the school, like A, B, C, D, sounds like ka, ka, ga, ga, ka, ka, ga, ga, na. So when he would hear, when Prahlad would be reciting the alphabet, when he would say ka, that would remind him of Krishna. So just by going ka, he would think of Krishna and faint. Or get to ga for Govinda, he would faint. And it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, so pure was Prahlad Maharaj as a child. In his chanting and remembrance, the Lord would appear to him, sometimes stroking him. He would feel the soft touch of the Lord or the touch of his lotus feet. As a child, he would imitate the pastimes of Krishna. So, naturally, Hiranyakashipu was worried about him. So after he saw the first sign of pollution, the spiritual contamination, he chastised the teachers and told them, put him like, you know, on the more hardcore mundane teaching. So they thought, yeah, we've got to up the ante with Prahlad. So they went on training him for some time. And now they're going to present the new, improved Prahlad Maharaj to Hiranyakashipu. He's taking him on. And so tell me, Prahlad, what are the best things you've learned in the Gurukula? And Prahlad's saying, oh, the best things, well, actually, there are just so many wonderful things, but if I had to categorize them, I would say it's like Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. Let me tell you about it. It's so wonderful. 9 different processes of devotional Navabhakti. And he says, culminating in giving yourself wholesale to the Lord and His agents. The svatmarpanam, svatmaarpanam, giving yourself, not giving something or just offering something, but actually offering yourself. It all culminates in that. And Guru Maharaj like to remind us that Sridhar Swami, the great Bhagavatam commentator, he says, Ado arpita paschad kriyeta, for any of the sravanam kirtanam, the hearing, the chanting, the remembrance of all these things, really to be devotion, it has to be an act of self-giving to Krishna, beginning, middle, and end. So it's all hearing that, this makes Hiranyakashipu furious, and he throws Prahlad down, and he's thinking, remember, his enemy is Vishnu. Why? Because his brother, Hiranyaksha, was killed by Vishnu. And if we go way back, it's also mentioned by Sukadeva in the story, that, I mean, we have to remember, these are great devotees playing these roles. So Hiranyakashipu is so stereotypically, classically evil, then, you know, an Oscar should be given to Jai and Vijay, you know, for the roles they've played. That these characters still stand to this day, because we were told previously, when the Kumaras were trying to enter Vaikuntha, right, was the famous slok associated with Tasyaravinda Nayanasya Padaravinda Kinjalka Misra Tulasi Makaranda Vayu Antargada Swavivarena Chakaratesham Sanksobhyam Aksharajusham Api Chitta Tanbo. By smelling the flowers and the tulsi offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, takes on some divine fragrance. And although they were spiritually realized in the neutral sense of the term, when the divine fragrance of the lotus feet of the Lord mixed with the tulsi entered within them, their minds underwent some divine transformation. So those four brahmacharis came to enter Vaikuntha, and the gatekeepers, Jai, Bijai, were there, and they prevented them from entering. And this is also part of the play, so that they would become cursed by them. As you recall, their three births that they would take. Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Dantabhakra and Shishupal, and Ravana and Kumbhakarna. And some say later they appear in Mahaprabhu's pastimes as Jagai and Madhai. So we can understand how exalted they are that they get to play these roles. That's Guru Maharaj's point. That don't think, I mean, we can be fearful of the character, but those who play the roles have to be confidential associates, that they can play these parts and play them so well. Still, Hiranyakashipu is furious to hear someone he's trying to train to be a first-class asura, to be spouting all this devotional philosophy and Krishna consciousness. And he knows the principle of association, and he's trying to track down, where did Prahlad get this pollution? And we hear, again, in the Bhagavatam, that Narada, who's ever a, like, transcendental mischief maker,
revealed to the demigods that Hiranyakashipu's wife was pregnant at the time. So they wanted to commit infanticide, that after that child was born, to kill the child. So they kidnapped her at some point and took her to his ashram. And it was revealed to them at that time that, because they're thinking the child of such a great demon will imbibe those same qualities and be mischief to the world. But it's revealed to them that actually it's the devoted Prahlad. Right? So they're, she, while undergoing the pregnancy, so many divine instructions are being given, and we're told that the fetus can hear at that time. And just the story of Abhimanyu is there too. So Prahlad's hearing all these things, and on account of his acquirement, he's getting more benefit from the instructions than his mother is. So he's getting high level spiritual association even in the womb of his mother. And Brihad Bhagavatamritam, when Shiva, after being praised by Narada, is deflecting that praise and deferring to Prahlad Maharaj, when Narada, on Shiva's advice, approaches Prahlad, we're told Prahlad has Guru Puja for the approaching Narada. And Narada's ecstatic with praise of Prahlad Maharaj and the devotion of Prahlad Maharaj, because this is the beginning of Shuddha Bhakti. What does he say? Later, when the Sringadev will offer boons and benedictions to Prahlad Maharaj, Nasa Britya Sabai Banik. Prahlad's hurt. He's being tested, and also a spotlight is being shined on his devotion. He's saying, I didn't worship you to get something. I'm not a vanik, a merchant. That the real point of all of this was to get something from you. I just want pure devotion. So Prahlad's the beginning of Shuddha Bhakti. That's why it's important to understand the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. Matirna Krishne Padataksvatoba Mito Pipadyeta Grihavratanam. You can't get this on your own or from a group of similar people. Right? Only through having genuine association, being bathed in the dust of a genuine devotee, can this be extended to you. Bhaktya Sanjataya Bhaktya. And we're told in the end, after so many instructions are given, etat sarvam guru bhaktya purusha yandaso jayet, can all be distilled into one thing, devotion to guru. So when Narada is praising Prahlad Maharaj, that's embarrassing to him, to get for the disciple to be praised by the guru. And he's saying, Gurudev, I'm one of your insignificant devotees. Why are you praising me? Actually, I don't think my situation is very good. He said, I don't think there's evidence that I really got a drop of the mercy of the Lord, because I don't have any seva. And then he starts praising Hanuman, saying, yes, Nrisimhadev appeared to me. And then he went so quickly. And then, but I was given a kingdom, but not any personal direct seva like Hanuman. But anyway, so Prahlad is considering himself insignificant. But Hiranyakashipu is now they're going to test their way of reading the environment. Hiranyakashipu has got a way of interpreting the world and life circumstances. Prahlad's got a way of seeing things. Back to Guru Maharaj telling Gurudev, you're going to listen to me and not your own mind. Prahlad's saying, you can't get this by mental culture, intellectual culture, or any such thing. You only get it in connection with the devotee, and he had that connection. So, and Hiranyakashipu, we're told, tried in so many ways to break Prahlad by torturing him. And Guru Maharaj at one point said, so what do we learn from these pastimes? That if you're going to pursue Krishna conception, be prepared for a life of trouble. Right? But as Yudhisthira says a similar thing to Narada in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, he says that when Narada is praising him and the Pandavas, Yudhisthira is saying, well, people will see by our pastimes with the Lord, being a devotee of Krishna means a life of trouble. You can expect to find yourself in so many difficult circumstances. And Narada responds to that by saying, no, what they understand is life is full of troubles, and as a devotee you can expect the Lord to come and save you from that. So as Hiranyakashipu, a great devotee of mundane culture and mundane power, he's fascinated how Prahlad is able to withstand all of the torture upon him, inflicted upon him by his surrogates. And he's saying, this power that you have, Prahlad, where did you get that? And Prahlad's saying, well, from the original source of all power, the same place you get your power. Remember the way you got your power? It's the same source, but a little different. Right? And we're told that in his arrogance, when he thought that even Vishnu, who'd killed his brother as Hiranyaksha, was now afraid of him, because he had taken over Indra's throne, the Deva, you know, even Narada was playing along with him, the Gandharvas and others, they'd be offering him praise and songs in his assembly. And he in his arrogance, he thought, Vishnu is such a coward. He's hiding from me. And the devotees say, yeah, that's true. Vishnu, as part of his play, thought, he'd hide in the one place that you'd never think of looking for him, in your heart. Right? So as Hiranyakashipu's curiosity is aroused by Prahlad on finding the source of this power, he's saying, oh, so it's the same source, Marian. And you say, that is Vishnu. Well, I think Vishnu is hiding. Where is this Vishnu who's the source of all your power? And he's saying, well, in basic Upanishadic philosophy, he's saying, actually, he's within everything. He's without everything. He's, one of his features is all pervasive. And we have the Brahma conception, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shabyate, is within everything. Is all permeating, all pervasive. And this is beginning to enrage Hiranyakashipu to the point of where, and his anger, he pulls out his sword, and like we have so many columns here, he points to, and he's thinking, this is absurd. If he's in everything, he's within everything, is he in this pillar? And Prahlad says with great confidence, yes. Sometimes Prabhupada said he could see in the Sringadev peeping, like he's about, and he's going, yes, he's definitely within that particular one. So Hiranyakashipu, like the person who thinks, if we smash the shalagram, the deity is finished. He smashes that pillar with his sword, and we're told at this point, Nisringadev could not take it any longer. All the abuse that Prahlad was tolerating. And he came out of the pillar in this Adbhuta Sringam. This inconceivably wonderful form. At the same time, keeping intact all of Brahma's boons. So it was neither a man nor an animal, but Narahari, the half man, half lion form of the Lord. And as we told, Tarakarakamala Boreinakam Adbhuta Sringham, the soft lotus like palms, but with nails. And the nails don't qualify as weapons, and neither do they qualify as living or dead, right? They're somewhere on the tata between being alive and being dead. And it's not on the inside or outside, but on a veranda, and the threshold of a veranda, not in the day or the night, but at twilight, like now. And what other things? Did I miss something? Yeah, that we mentioned. Anyway, pardon me?
Not death or life.
That I thought. All right. Yes. That's what I mentioned. Nails. They're not living or dead. Not a man or beast, but half man, half lion. And then, this isn't enough for Hiranyakashipu, actually. He decides to fight with Nisringadev. And they fight around the veranda for some time because a lion has some cat-like tendencies. He's sort of playing with his prey for a while. But at last, Nisringadev, roaring, grabs Hiranyakashipu, puts him on his lap, and rips him apart. Result, the roar is so loud, some Brahmin lady nearby, it caused her to prematurely give birth to a child. And how one pastime segues to another. So the husband cursed Nisringadev, saying, in a future life, you'll be overwhelmed by, you'll forget who you are. And that means in Ram Lila, he forgets that he's divine but acts like a king. But at any rate, Hiranyakashipu puts Nisringadev on his lap, rips him apart, pulls out his intestines, wears them as a garland. He's roaring, he's covered in blood. All the demigods, Brahma, Shiva, and others, they all appear, start offering prayers to try and pacify the Lord. No one is able to. And Lakshmi Devi on the side, keeping silent, because this moment is meant to shine a spotlight on the devotion of Prahlad Maharaj, who comes forward, and he alone can pacify Nisringadev, who was mentioned in Brihad Bhagavatamritam. Nisringadev, out of love and affection, starts licking the body of Prahlad Maharaj, his limbs, his face, everywhere. And Prahlad starts offering prayers to pacify the Lord, and the Lord's showing, Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam. He will appear to protect his devotees and annihilate their enemies. And so all the devotees to this day pray to Nisringadev to protect them and remove those things which are obstacles on the devotional path. Sri Nisringadev Chaturdashi Ki Jai, Sri Prahlad Maharaj Ki Jai.